Welcome to She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, a podcast made just for you. Your host is Felicia Stitzel, world traveler and influencer, professional photographer, sommelier, Navy veteran, and mom. Tune in every Thursday for solo episodes where she shares her life story and a wine highlight. Pour yourself a glass and let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine. I'm your host, Felicia Stitzel, and today I wanted to say a very special happy holidays to everyone. We decided to release this podcast just a few days early because Christmas this year happens to also land just about the time that this podcast would have been released. So that means you get the podcast a few days early. How cool is that? Today we are going to be visiting a very, very favorite country of mine in both wine and in story. I very recently visited this country beginning of 2020. We actually did a quick weekend trip with my husband because it's very close by to Spain and completely fell in love with the country and knew I had to go back. The country I am referring to is Portugal. My story I'm going to be telling today has to do with how I traveled to a very fancy wine resort and hotel with a toddler. But before we get into that, I wanted to highlight a wine. This is from the Douro Valley. Since I have been only highlighting red wines thus far, I wanted to bring a little white wine to your life because, of course, the world is not just full of red wine drinkers, but of all kinds of drinkers. So this particular wine, funny story behind it. I picked this wine up when we were on our road trip to Portugal this fall, and it was actually one of the very first wines that I bought on my wine road trip. So it's kind of special. I did buy this wine. I know this is probably not good of me, but I bought it specifically because of the label. Because we were at this little restaurant in Sintra, which is just outside of Lisbon, and I was going to the bathroom and I saw these bottles of wine on display that had all of these adorable cartoon strips on them. It was all in Portuguese, of course, but it's of this gentleman and the bartender, and they're going back and forth about wine. And I thought it was the cutest thing. I had to buy a red and white of it. So I already shared the red and am now going to be sharing the white with you. So this is a 2018 white blend. The reason why that I selected a blend is because white wines, there are not as many produced in Portugal. And a lot of the wines, of course, are used specifically for port, of course. But also because of the area, red wines tend to do a lot better. Not to say that white wines aren't also fantastic, just there's more red wine grapes that are planted versus white wines. So white wines aren't as common. You'll still find them, but there isn't as many produced. The name of the wine is Diallo Branco, and I am probably completely butchering that, so make sure you check out the show notes for it because Portuguese is very complicated. Beautiful, but complicated. So it's spelled D-I-A with a little asterisk above it, L-O-G-O, Branco. So it's like Blanco. It is, of course, from the Douro Valley that I picked out specifically. It tends to be very acidic. So I don't know yet because I haven't tasted this one yet. The producer is Neoport. Once again, check out the show notes for exact spellings that you can Google yourself and get the exact pronunciation of. I apologize to anybody who may know Portuguese or is from Portugal and I am butchering this. I apologize. I still love your wines and your country. So this wine actually is very interesting because it can be aged between 15 and 55 years, which to me is really, really strange for a white wine because, of course, I don't think of laying down a white wine for a long period of time. I think that, you know, 4 or 5 years is pretty adequate length of time to lay down the white wine. But I mean, everybody makes them differently. And that's one of the wonderful things about wine is you learn something new. So now we're going to get into actually what it smells and tastes like. So smells. Wow. It's like a starfruit. It smells like a starfruit. With like an aftertaste of, and on the nose with like mango. And a little bit of a lemon to it. Almost like a grapefruity. Wow. And it's like at the very, very end of the nose. It's like hard-boiled eggs. Like the shells of hard-boiled eggs. I know. It sounds weird. You might just need to get a bottle yourself. Wow. Okay. Wow, that is very, very vibrant. Wow. That's like firecrackers going off in your mouth. Oh. Very, very acidic, but it's also very light. So it's not, sometimes that I've tasted with wines that you have that like really, really high pitch acidity where it kind of makes you like pucker on the side of your chin, like the side of your jaw. This one has that, a slight bit of puckering to it. But normally, like the wine viscosity is much thicker, so it kind of lingers for long periods of time, and it's not something that you are able to sip on very quickly. This one, the body is very, very light to it, so it's almost like as soon as it hits the base of your chest, the base of your esophagus before it starts entering into your chest, like all of, like the acidity from your mouth has already disappeared from then. I just keep getting surprised on how light that is. I said very acidic. It is definitely like a lightly sugared grapefruit. I mean, almost to a T. It's almost like drinking breakfast right there. Like it is quite good, but it is quite tart. Also has some light notes of like it's floral. It's very floral. It's like it has like a little bit of the vanilla to it. Like barely. It's like you smelled a vanilla candle and you have that aftertaste in your mouth. Like that's how light it is. But then it has a very floral taste of like hibiscus. So it's very interesting. It is a very interesting wine to taste. So now sit back, pour yourself a glass of something nice, whether that's wine, that's whiskey, orange juice, pre-workout, what have you. Pour yourself a glass of something nice and sit back and enjoy our story as I take you through the beautiful country of Portugal and its wine country. Traveling fancy with kids. In this podcast, I wanted to talk about a very recent trip that I took with my daughter when we decided that I was going to fulfill my short, long lifeline, whatever you want to call it. It's been a very short dream or short-lived dream, but a dream nonetheless, that I wanted to go and stay at the Wine Barrel Hotel. I had read about it on articles. I had seen it in a few news clips. It had been circling around several wine groups that I was a part of on Facebook. That everybody wanted to plan a trip to go stay at the Wine Barrels. So of course, I had to research it to find out where these magical wine barrels are located. And once I found out that they were located in Portugal, and not terribly far for those of us who enjoy a long road trip, that in theory, I could get there and it wouldn't take me that long and I could go for like a weekend. So then the plan began. I was on my way to living in Spain. There was several months of transit before from the time that our house was packed out by the military to when we finally actually arrived in Spain. The goal date was for us, myself and my daughter, to arrive before my husband, and we were going to get the house set up. We were going to get our lives established, and then he was going to arrive, settle in, get set up on the ship, and then end up going out on patrol shortly thereafter. Well, that's not exactly how it went. We were hoping to fly out, my daughter and myself, to Spain in mid-August. And I knew that my husband wasn't going to be able to join us because he had schools until, you know, early September. That was the goal. However, that is not the reality. So when I was sitting in my parents' house in Alaska planning this dream trip of going to Portugal to stay in the wine barrels, I was planning on getting to Spain, getting our house situated, finding our place to live, getting cars, doing the whole beginning of our life set up here, and then being done about 2 weeks before my husband showed up, giving me just enough time to relax, to get myself a little acquainted with where I was going to be living, and then take a road trip to Portugal so I could go and relax the remaining of my days before my husband showed up in a wine barrel. The reality of it was, well, a whole year later, and in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, my daughter and I packed up our car very safely so that way we could travel safely, and we decided to make an entire trip of it. So instead of just going to the wine barrels, which, by the way, are located on this beautiful winery location, it's literally like a whole wine resort, but the name of it is called Quinta de Pacha. Quinta de Pacha. Beautiful. Check it out. It's going to be in the show notes. The website's going to be linked. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. I'll get more into that in a second. So my daughter and I, we decided to start this road trip, and we had been watching a very beloved in our household Netflix show, Somebody Feed Phil. Love this show. Then I believe season two or season three. I can't remember which season exactly, but he takes a trip to Lisbon and he goes all through Lisbon. I actually think it was in season two, to be more specific. He goes into Lisbon and he, of course, does all of his tastings and he does all of his foodie stuff. And then he goes and spends the afternoon in Sintra. And I did not realize how close Sintra was to Lisbon, because it's literally like, because of how much Lisbon has grown and expanded, because it's this wonderful, beautiful, lustrous city, I didn't realize that it was that close. Like, it's like a 25-minute drive from the outskirts of Lisbon to the heart of Sintra. But they have this palace there. Oh, this palace is so beautiful. And I saw it in the TV show and I had seen it. I have this book that I picked up from Barnes & Noble years ago, and it's like Castles of the World. And I remember seeing these pictures of this beautiful yellow and red and blue and purple palace that they have in Lisbon. Or, of course, they don't specifically say Lisbon on it. You just kind of presume that it's Lisbon because it's right there. But it's actually in a small, small town named Sintra, and it is gorgeous. So I was like, okay, well, if we're going to make a trip of it, we're going to make a trip of it. We're going to go to Sintra. We're going to hike around. We're going to spend a couple days there. And originally it was just going to be like 2 days and one night. But after I had seen the episode of Somebody Feed Phil, I knew that I needed to stay for a little bit longer. So we ended up staying for 3 days and two nights. And I'm so glad that I did. And honestly, of all of the places that I've gone in Portugal thus far, which there's a small handful, not a huge one, but a small handful of places I've been thus far, Sintra is one of my favorites. Highly recommend. If you are going to Lisbon, you need to spend a couple extra days in your itinerary and plan specifically to go to Sintra, stay up actually in the old city of it, where there is like a crap ton of one-way roads, all uphill, super sharp corners. You can't see where you're going before you almost hit somebody. So if you're a nervous driver, don't drive. Park your car down below or hop off the train and take a taxi and then close your eyes till you get to the hotel, because it's definitely an adventure. Or you can rent a tuk-tuk, which is like a little tiny the best way to describe it is like an open carriage on the back of a really small motorcycle that's all attached into one. If you've ever looked up a tuk-tuk, you know what I'm talking about. So we're here and we're spending this wonderful time in this tiny little village because, and I say it is a small village. I mean, technically, it is very, very close to this huge metropolitan, which is amazing, but the atmosphere of Sintra is just, it's such a small town. Like, everybody knows everybody. Everybody is helping recommend you to somewhere else because they want to help their friend out or their cousin, or, but they know that you really want a burger, so you're going to go around to the corner over here, but then they're going to recommend you to go visit this, you know, patisserie, and then you're going to go get your pastel, and trust me, you're going to end up getting lost on these tiny little roads and you will have wished you never left. I've traveled not as much as I would have liked to this summer, but I definitely have been able to make a few trips this year. And of the places that I've gone to, Sintra is in my top five of places that I yearn to go back to. And I hope to go back soon. So we start our road trip and that was our first place that we landed. And then from there, we, of course, being in the wine industry and knowing a friend in Idaho who gave me my very first taste and my very first insight into port, I knew that we had to go to, of course, Porto, where it's all from. And I had learned the history of Porto. And of course, that is the entryway into the Douro Valley. And now suddenly we have made like this little L up through Portugal, and we will have ended our trip at Quinta de Pacha. So of course, being the world traveler that my daughter and myself are, I have gotten very accustomed to getting strange looks when we're traveling. Because I backpack with her. And now, of course, being that she's almost four, I'm getting much, much stranger looks because my husband's also a very tall man, which he thankfully passed those genes on to my daughter, which means that she is a very tall four-year-old. I mean, I actually know a six-year-old, and her and the six-year-old are almost the same height. And it's one of those situations where because I'm traveling so much, as a solo parent and as a woman, and I'm backpacking with my child on my back, which already gets enough looks. We have a backpack and like a big hiker backpacker because she's heavy, and it also helps in hot days and situations, keeps our bodies separated so we can not cook ourselves internally from one another, because I've had that happen before and it was not pleasant. And my poor little backpack, we named our backpack Fernando. I have no idea why we picked Fernando, or I picked Fernando for the name of my backpack, but that's his name. His name is Fernando, and he's covered in patches. So it's one of those things that I have gotten very accustomed to getting weird looks from people. And thankfully, I have toughened up my skin in that situation, in those scenarios, because in the beginning, I used to be really, really self-conscious about, you know, those judgmental parental looks that people give you, or the grandmother looks. Oh, to me, the grandmother looks are the worst, because it's like you let down grandmom. And you can't let her down. I mean, that's like the worst thing that you can do. You think like the disappointed dad look is bad. Try the begrudged grandmother. Ugh, goes straight to the bone, straight to my soul. And so when I first started traveling with her, I definitely, and especially since being in the wine industry, I'm traveling with a child and an infant and now toddler to a lot of wine regions. So of course, it's like stacked on top of looks. And throughout the years, I've just had to teach myself, and I've had to just ignore the weird looks. However, when you start traveling to luxury locations, also centered around wine, also traveling with a toddler, you get some really judgmental looks. Oh, yeah. And on top of it, we're traveling during a pandemic, with a child to the wine world in Portugal. Yeah. Like I said, stacked on stacked on stacked. So that's always fun. And I will say that this was a situation where I had to decide if I was going to be that girl and give rude looks back and be very vocal about my opinion and why I don't care that people are looking at me, or I could go the more subtle route and just not care. However, sometimes even with the thickest of skins, things get to you. And I am sharing this because I don't want the parents out there traveling with children, or the single parents or the solo travelers traveling with kids or with any other situation, I don't want you to be deterred from doing things that you want to do because you feel like you're not going to fit in. Guess what? This hotel, this beautiful wine resort hotel conglomerate location that is like two steps away from being heaven on earth, did not care where I was from, who I brought with me, what her age was, or anything else. Because guess what? I was still paying the same rate as anybody else who was staying there at that time. And so long as I didn't get my credit card declined, they didn't care. And thankfully, I will say, I am so grateful that I have traveled to countries, especially countries with heavy wine worlds and big wine industries that you can travel and taste through, that are also incredibly family friendly. And this was a question that I had prior to actually moving out to Spain, because of course my entire situation and experiences with the wine world in the United States was there were only a handful of wineries in the country that require their guests to be 21 and up. In some other fancier regions, they don't turn you away if you are traveling with children, but it's one of those that they will still serve you, and they will still give you customer service as necessary, but they are not going to be ones that tend to spend more time with you because you have children. Like, they don't perceptively, and this is not correct, but perceptively, they don't assume that you are going to be a big high dollar spending customer. And so they want to go and tend to the people who are going to be high spending customers. And then you have the rest of the country in the United States that is very family friendly. Like, Harmony, my daughter, has been to more wineries than my parents. And she covered that in a single summer. Like, we've been to a lot of wineries, and it is because there is an atmosphere around the wine world that not many people think of. And that is, wineries are generational, and they are completely centered around families. Parents who are just starting in their garage and they're figuring out how to make wine are also probably the parents who are trying to run an entrepreneurial business, or they're working their 9 to 5 and then they're making wine in the garage while mom is helping the kids in the kitchen doing their homework. Wine is family. It has always been centered around family. The people who make it, the generations who keep it, the histories that are formed and made and kept. There are wineries in the world that are working, the 16th generation of their families are still owning, working, and running these wineries. So it's not strange for me as a wine industry worker, but also as a wine lover, to travel anywhere in the world basically with my child. The people who worked at this winery never gave a second thought that my daughter was there. In fact, they did even more than that. They celebrated that she was there. We were able to be there on the last week in September We were able to be there during the last few days of their harvest. So they were there in the very last days picking the grapes. And we were able to, out on their patio, which is where they would do a lot of tours and tastings and stuff, they had everything because all bets are off when it's harvest time. Like, that is the focus and everything else is just a plus. So we were able to watch out on the patio. And we would just sit there because thankfully my daughter is fascinated by the whole thing that they were bringing the grapes in with their big crates, and they were forklifting it up onto the destemmer, and then they would watch it go through the conveyor belt and they would take it through. I mean, we were able to sit there and watch the whole process, and then we were able to sit there and listen to all the grape stompers sing their traditional stomping songs, you know, just sitting outside. And then we were able to go in and stomp. And it was a fantastic experience. We were actually able to stomp twice. The first night I had actually scheduled my tasting that came complimentary to staying in the wine barrel. I had scheduled it for that night, the first night that we were there. And the gentleman who was helping me, we started talking about wine and the industry and history and Portugal and this and that. And like, we bonded. And he was like, well, what do you guys have plans for tonight? And I was like, well, we have, you know, like a reservation for dinner. And that's about it, because we don't have our stomping and that whole thing until, our last day there. It's like, he goes, oh, really? Give me a second. And he goes over and he talks to one of his associates, and then he comes back and he goes, well, do you want to stomp tonight? I was like, what? He goes, you can't do the whole winemaker's dinner thing tonight, but you already have that scheduled for your last night here. Do you want to just join in on the stomping? I was like, yes, please. And this entire time I have been sitting here doing my tasting and been enjoying myself. Like, my daughter has been outside while I was also sitting out on the patio, because it was beautiful fall day, sitting in the vineyard. And they brought her out snacks and coloring books, and the guy was playing with her, and they just celebrated the fact that she was there and that she was having such a great time. And so from then on, we stayed there for almost 4 days, and the whole rest of the time that we were there, everybody who worked there all knew my daughter's name. And they all were like, hey, it's the star of the show. Oh, Harmonia. Like, and they celebrated her. They called out to her and they treated her like a queen, which is exactly what I tend to not expect, but what I have seen so much traveling around the world with my daughter is that she is celebrated because they celebrate the future. They celebrate our children. However, I was still staying at a very fancy hotel. And I was staying in a very fancy room. And everyone who was staying around me tended to be confused that I was traveling with a small child. And I got these looks. And I got the eye rolls and the talking behind your back while you're still pointing at them situations. And I have to say, like, complete transparency here, like, I got irritated. Because if we're all sitting here and we're all staying in the same rooms, we have all paid the same amount of money to be here during this time in our reservations. And my child is not bothering you. Why are you looking at me? Why are we being objectified here? Like, why? And that, to me, is like my internal, that rumbling, and you're like, oh yeah, go ahead, pick a fight, go ahead. I dare you to pick a fight with me. Because, and then of course, then my whole defensive thought process pulls into place, and you're just like, yeah, go ahead. You'll lose. You'll fight me and you'll lose. Want to know why you'll lose? Because you're fighting a girl and because I can kick your butt. But have you ever had that situation where you're just like, ugh, like, we're all here, which means we've all paid money to be here. Like, why judge me? And that's where it really comes down to. It's like, why Why judge me when I am no different from you? However, the purpose of this story was to, you know, be fully transparent in the fact that I might have traveled to many countries and been to many situations and had many opportunities to go to nice things and do nice things and go to nice places by myself. And when I was traveling with my husband, when it was the two of us traveling together, but I have also done a lot of amazing things and very luxurious things as well. And it has never stopped me traveling with my daughter, because I know that, and especially now that this year has been this year, we have all had a lesson this year, and that is life is too short. It is too daggone short to worry about what other people think or to wait for the child special because you know that you're going to be surrounded by other parents, and so nobody's going to give you a judgmental look if your kid decides to start losing their crap and nobody cares because you're surrounded by more parents who have also had their children lose their crap in public. But why should that stop you? Why should that stop you from doing what you want to do? Like, I love to travel to wineries. And because my husband doesn't like to travel to wineries or isn't able to travel to wineries as much, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm not going to let it stop me that I'm still traveling with my child who is nearly 4 years old, because I don't have anybody else that I can leave her with and then go travel to Portugal, where this hotel that I would be staying at is 9 hours away from my home. I don't just have people I can just leave her with for long periods of time. I'm sure that I do have a community here that in a more emergency situation, they would have no problem watching her and keeping an eye on her. But when you don't have a community or like a support team around you, and you don't have, you know, just the grandparents down the street or your husband coming home and he can take time off of work to go do the things that you want to do, don't let that stop you. Still go and do the things that you want to do and bring your kids with you. Who says that they can't also have an amazing time? My daughter still, months and months later, tells me that she wants to go back to the Douro Valley because she can't do the Douro. It actually sounds more like she's putting an L in there. It's like Douro Valley. And she wants to stay in the wine barrels, and she wants to go back to go swim in the pool and stomp on the grapes. And she goes, "Mommy, we're going to go back." It's like, let's do it, girl. Because we still had a fantastic time. The experiences that we had and the memories that we made at Quinta de Pacha were still some of the best memories that I've made all year. Because it was one of the very first times I have ever traveled where I literally got to this winery and hotel and I did nothing. We only left the property twice in almost 4 days. And to anybody who knows me, you're going to say, "Oh my God, she had a stroke. There is no way." Because most people who know me or have traveled with me or know about my travel itineraries know that if we're staying 5 days someplace, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. We might stop for lunch, but we may not. And if you ask my husband about our trip to Rome, he'll tell you probably not. And then we're going to go here and we're going to go here. And it's literally like from sun up to sundown, we are going, we're doing, we're experiencing, and we are not stopping unless for food until it is way past bedtime, because you only get so much time in one place. Like, we did the same thing with Fiji. When we were able to go to Fiji, I knew that there is a very, very small chance I will ever go back to Fiji. And if I am able to, that's amazing. But if I'm not going to feel like I missed out, because I did and experienced so much while we were there. That's how I tend to travel. So the fact that I got to this wine hotel and did nothing, like we ate. We sat by the pool. I slowly sipped on my wine. I enjoyed my deck out on the back of my wine hotel, wine barrel. I stayed in this wine barrel. Like, we did classes and we walked through the vineyards and we literally were able to do everything that we wanted to do, but we were also able to just relax. And by we, I do really mean we, because the beginning days of this trip, we did do a lot and we experienced a lot and we did do the sun up to sundown kind of travel. So when we were able to come and just soak and we were able to just be, and I didn't worry about how much time we were wasting because I had to check in on something with work or the transportation isn't what we thought it was going to be, or, you know, fill in the blank on the situation. But the biggest thing that I want to share about this journey was that I didn't let anything stop me. And I hope that you will find a little empowerment in that, is that we were literally facing up against not fitting in because we weren't the specific clientele. Although by the time we left, like, let's be real, they loved me because my daughter is awesome and I bought a lot. And I mean a lot of wine. So of course, they love me now. But when I got there, you know, yeah, I might not have been their ideal client. And I was traveling with a child and we were doing a road trip in a worldwide pandemic. Like I said, note, we did it safely. We were being smart. Sanitized, wash hands, mouth covers, all of it. Took our own car. No public transportation. We're being safe. Anyways. And so as we are going to be going into 2021, I want to empower you to not let anything stop you. If you have a dream, if it's a dream of going to a certain place and it's a little fancier, but you've been dying to go, or you want to experience something like a fancy dinner, but you have never owned a pretty dress or a button-down shirt in your life, and you're more of a jeans and boots kind of person, because I get it, so am I. Don't let it stop you. Enjoy these experiences. Take advantage of them. Seek them out even. If you haven't had the opportunity to do something that you've always dreamed to do, make it your goal for 2021 that is what you do. Because life is too daggone short to let anything stop you. And I mean anything. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode of She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, where I have highlighted our trip through Portugal. Please stay tuned for more amazing episodes and fun stories and, of course, fantastic wines to be had. I hope that you all have a wonderful holiday season and that you will tune in to the next episode of She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find our Facebook page, our website, and the Instagram links in the show notes. Please follow our adventure as I update those and share some more insights on tips, tricks, travel, and photography, and wine, and everything else that I love. You will find more updates on those on our social media pages. So please like, share, follow, subscribe, and if you feel so inclined and if you have loved this episode, please also feel free to leave us a review. It would be so wonderful. I would really appreciate your guys' feedback, and if you like this kind of stuff, if you like the podcast, but also I just would be very honored that you would take the time. So once again, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and tune in next time. Cheers.